Please join me in saying the Anabakoach. Anabakoach. Gedulat Shemincha. Tatim. Serura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tzad Tzadik. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sagmenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshei Yehudcha Kivavat Shamre Nun Gimodalit Yud Kashin Barchem Kacharem Rachamesit Kacha Tamid Gamlein Betet Resh Tzadi Tav Gimel. The letter Kaf that created the planet we call the sun, with its two names, its internal name of Shemesh, meaning servant, and its external name of Choten, meaning hot. And the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, the lion, and through its gematria of 216 connects us to the 216 letters of the 72 names of God. Two 216 is also the gematria of the Sephirah of Geburah. And while the lion in Ezekiel's vision is on the right side, on the chesed side, the connection of the gematria to judgment of Geburah indicates that the Aryeh has both aspects within it, the duality of chesed and or loving kindness and judgment. Chasin kadosh birov tuvcha na'el adatach chet kuf bet tet nun ayin yachid geyeh Lamcha b'nei Zofrei Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodeya Talumot Shem Kufav Tzadi Yudtach. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. I will read a verse from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Ekev. Section 2. The owner of the house breaks the bread and the guest recites the blessing. Verse 18, Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kononeinu Ad Haki Yisava Yizdimon Legabei V'yamar Raya Mehemana Takin V'atorah Lemaran Le'ul Matronita Mikol Mine Ad Idunin Lekaima be ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem beha ad ke'an kuhu mit ange mi patora lechu lechamu belach mi Veda Nachama De Oraita De Bikta Vayana De Oraita De Baalpe Vitaman Kama Matamim Mine Tame Torah Dim Tikin Mikol Meakalim Veidunim De Alma Ud Malka. Meanwhile, an old person came to him and said, Faithful shepherd, prepare a table for your master, for him and his queen, with all kinds of delicacy to fulfill in it. This is the table that is before Hashem. For until now, everyone was enjoying from the king's table, as it says, Come, eat of my bread. Bread is the written law, meaning Zeranpin. And the wine of the Torah is the oral law, which is Malchut. In Malchut there are many dainties from the various sweet meanings of the Torah, and from all the victuals and delicacies in the world and of the king. The verse appears to be self-explanatory, but there's different levels and deeper levels. Why does the Malchut level of the Torah, which is the oral Torah, why is that referred to as Chokmah or as wine? And wine relates to Chokmah, as we are taught in other places. And that's really to explain that what Malchut truly desires is the light of Chokmah or the Chokmah. Malchut is not fulfilled until it is filled with wisdom, which is the light of God. And this verse is hinting at that, but doesn't say it expressly. And in the 10 luminous emanations, we will learn the process of the four phases applies in Zeranpin, within Zeranpin. That in phase 3, the vessels that were created by the vessel of Binah do not want wisdom. They do not want Orda Chokmah. That's not their desire. Their desire is for what the vessel can share, which is Orda Chasadim. But Malchut ultimately wants and desires Orda Chokmah, the ultimate level of light, the total fulfillment. And that is alluded to in this discussion of why is the oral Torah related to Chokmah. Why is it related to wine? And so the Zeranpin is the bread of Torah. What is the bread? Bread was only considered Malchut. The bread goes on the table. And yet here it's being expressed as Zeranpin, and this is a confusing aspect to most people if you think about the verse. Are there any questions? With the I'm reading from the English translation of the book Beloved of My Soul, which is a compilation of the letters that were found in Rabbi Berg's closet, so to speak, that were the communication between he and his teacher, Rabbi Brandwein. And so we don't really know the questions that Rabbi Berg asked. We just know the answers that Rabbi Brandwein sent. And see, sometimes we can determine what is the question, but sometimes not. And there are many other revelations in these letters that are quite powerful. And we get an insight into who Rabbi Brandwein is, and it's really the only writings that I'm aware of that have been published by him, by the center for him. So I'm reading from letter one. And I'm going to read the first verse in Hebrew, the first right paragraph, basically. Rav brachot v'shovah shemichot v'kaltuv sela kavod chavibi adam charav hagaon rav pa'alayim Norenu Harav Shraga Fivel Shalita. If you know Hebrew, there is a lot of superlatives in this verse, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. With the help of from the Creator, this letter is written in Tel Aviv on Friday, the eve of Shabbat, the portion of Korach, in the second day of the month of Tammuz, in the year 5724, which is equivalent to June 12, 1964. This is before the Jerusalem was taken over in 1967. In the Six-Day War. So this is a period where Israel is still being separated in the city of Jerusalem, and is under tremendous stress economically and militarily in having to guard its borders. It has not yet proven itself. The only engagements other than the daily engagements in that time period were the 1956 war, which, you know, basically was France and England and not Israel. And that was all about the Suez Canal. And there wasn't a real understanding. The other war that had taken place was the War of Independence, and that was, you know, brought to a standstill. An armistice, which never signed a peace treaty with any of the countries. Many greetings, fullness of joy, and all best wishes to the honorable beloved among men, master of wisdom and master of many deeds, our teacher, Rav Shraga Fivel. May you merit a long and good life. Amen. Why does Rabbi Brandwein speak with all these superlatives, all these blessings in a greeting? When we write a letter, if we're writing a business letter, it's dear sir or dear George. We don't express all these sentiments of love, sentiments of warmth, sentiments of the heart. Why does Rabbi Brandwein do that? And that's an amazing lesson to understand about spirituality. Because what you express, the words you say, manifest. And if you say, Dear George, then that's what happens, Dear George. There's no true depth of feeling expressed in that. It's only when you are true between your internal essence, what you truly feel, and what you then say, that you are combining and unifying the various worlds, the various levels of consciousness. And that is one of the amazing the lessons that Rabbi Brandwein teaches from these letters. Just to ask the question, why does he have to be saying how great and wonderful, you know, among men? It just seems to be absurd. And yet it's not. It's a true expression of what a sage would feel. What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? It means to love. And love is expressing love and gratitude. And that's what this verse expresses. And that's the verse that I read to you. Because it is so powerful in its Hebrew phrasing. After greeting you with great love, I have returned today from the holy city Jerusalem. May it be rebuilt and reestablished speedily in our days. Amen. After having been there all week. We don't live in Jerusalem. We are taught that we need to feel something for Jerusalem. After all, in the Seder, what do we say at the end of the Seder next year in Jerusalem? Making Aliyah, going up to Israel, an important virtue. Most of us don't feel it. It's meaningless. It's words expressed in the Haggadah. We say it once a year and then forget it. Rabbi Brandwein felt it. I have been in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is still a split city. Jerusalem is not unified. I have been in Jerusalem all week. Now, we tell people where we've been, where we're going, what's going on. Do we do it in this poetic fashion? Where is the person who's living in the